I asked this question.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And this question was asked of Ron Rivera yesterday, saying, hey, why are you the only one lagging behind the division?
Quarterback.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How about that? It took 5 weeks to get that soundbite, huh?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. CBS Sports broadcaster Ian Eagle. Actor Nick Turturro. Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira. Plus Lakers owner Jeannie Buss. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku Channel 210, here on so many terrestrial radio affiliates coast to coast, and the Odyssey app, Sirius Channel 218, XM 202, 992 on the app. We say hello to everybody out there. And if you have this empty feeling, if you have this feeling that you're a little bit out of sorts today, I know what it is, and that's why we're here for you. It is because we looked it up. Last night was the first time in three nights that the United States collectively weren't freaked out over a dreadful roughing the passer call. That did not happen for the first time in three nights last night.
Nice.
There was a roughing the pitch that we saw in Houston. And we'll talk about that on this program as the baseball divisional series are up and running. Week number six is right around the corner. There is NFL news a-popping everywhere. We're four wide today on the guest list. The aforementioned roughing the passer business, Mike Pereira, the Fox rules analyst, my buddy from back in the day at the NFL, former NFL NFL ref. He will be joining this program. We've got a lot of basketball on the mind. Ian Eagle kind of straddles both worlds, the NFL and the NBA. He's the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. He's one of the best calling games, not just for Westwood One, but for, of course, CBS with my buddy Charles Davis. He's first up in about 18 minutes' time, and the controlling owner and president of the Los Angeles Lakers, Jeannie Buss, will be here in hour number three as the Lakers are opening up the season against the Golden State Warriors. And yes, Draymond Green will be in that game because Steve Kerr announced that Draymond Green is returning to the team to practice tomorrow, expected to play in the final preseason game on Friday and then tip off on Tuesday. Warriors and Lakers. Jeannie Buss will be here to talk about her side of the equation, which is the Los Angeles Lakers. She will be here in hour number three. And then to help us hash out all the baseball, diehard Yankee fan and absolute insane person, Nick Turturro, is making his way to the studio. Our buddy from NYPD Blue and now here on the program. He's made multiple appearances. I love his passion for baseball, and certainly the Yankees. And the Yankees got through game one of their series. The Dodgers win game one of their series. The Phillies shocked the Braves yesterday, and the Houston Astros, what a remarkable come from behind win against the Seattle Mariners. Chris Brockman, good to see you.
Hey,
in
Rich.
Your spot.
What up?
DJ Mikey D is off. Jason Feller, for those who are not watching on Roku Channel 210, is interestingly enough swapped out his 1-4 Raiders hat for a Los Angeles Dodgers hat. That's very interesting that you did that.
Wow.
That's interesting that he did that.
Called him out on that.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle. Good to see you, sir.
The candle's lit. You just put Jay Felly on blast, Rich.
I just noticed that. I mean, I'm not saying you're not a Dodger fan. I just think that's an interesting choice of lid. Well, in the NFL world, roughing the passer penalties are on everyone's minds.
And you just roughed the feller.
I just roughed the feller. I did. Roughing the member of the media is what's first up here. Very rare that you see a National Football League player charged with misdemeanor assault for something that happens on the field of play, and it was technically on the field, but not in play. It was out of bounds and then figuratively out of bounds as well when Devontae Adams shoved over a credentialed member of the media who did not see him coming, and Adams didn't see the other guy coming. And he got in Adams' way just after the loss to the Chiefs, in which Adams thought he had a game potentially, a game-altering and result-altering third down catch, incomplete, and then he runs into his colleague, or his colleague runs into him, in Hunter Renfrow, and we all thought that that would be the collision involving Devontae Adams that we'd be talking about for quite some time in their bye week, since that fourth down play went nowhere because of that collision. And then Devontae Adams you can't say collided with this member of the media. The member of the media got in his way, and he shoved him over with a two-hand shove. And today, this credentialed member of the media, I guess, is getting what he was looking for, which is a misdemeanor assault charge from Kansas City authorities on one of the best players in the game and one of the best people in the game in Davante Adams. You can't shove a member of the media over. You can't do it, and the NFL should take care of this business. And I think they will. I think Davante Adams is going to get a game suspension when he comes back from his bye week. He's going to have an extra week off, which is a problem for the Raiders at 1-4. And Adams apologized to the guy on Twitter and then said something at his locker after the game. I have no idea if the guy has heard from Davante Adams or not. I imagine he will now if he already hasn't, or at least he'll take his call now. The member of the media, who is a freelancer, apparently, for Monday Night Football for ESPN, claiming to the authorities in Kansas City that suffered whiplash and also a minor concussion, which I don't know what that means. As we all know, either your brain is slammed against the side of your head and or it has not. I will just say this. I think the league should suspend him for a game, but criminal charges is something that I hope we can avoid.
Yeah.
And if Davante Adams needs anybody to help petition the court to talk about his character and moral character and who he is as a person, I will provide that document and that testimony. Because this guy does not deserve criminal charges on his record. And I'm just assuming he'll call up and we'll figure something out and this will get expunged. But he can't do it, and let the NFL handle this thing. I guess if you're shoved over, you want your figurative pound of flesh. But
do you really think he should be suspended the game?
Cannot shove a member of the credentialed member of the media over. You can't do that. Period. End of story. It doesn't matter if you're a freelancer. It doesn't matter anything. Correct. Doesn't matter if you're Joe Buck or you're the guy who's running after the Steadicam operator so you could remove that heavy piece of equipment from your colleague with your stand, which is what he was running or walking. And then the NFL will have to take a look at yet another loophole that they didn't see coming, or maybe they can rope off the tunnel area,
maybe,
and these
know.
Maybe these older stadiums. I mean, there's usually four tunnels. There's one for each team because it leads to the locker room. You rope it off until every player is off. Is that what you have to do? Usually there are some folks there helping direct traffic, but this dude was walking with his head down in his stand, and here comes Davante Adams, who can't shove the guy over.
The ultimate, the wrong place, wrong time. Yeah.
Now, Rich, I was asking this pre-show. Do you think there's like a Jimmy Johnson thing here where, Jimmy Johnson always said different guys have different rules. If Troy Aikman does something, that's one thing.
Uh-huh.
Number 53 on the roster. Got Davante Adams, who has no history of doing anything like this.
So out of character for him.
There's even a video on Twitter where someone was like, this is really Davante. He knocked the guy down as a member of the Packers. Ran over, picked him up, put his hat back on, and made sure he was okay. So do you feel like there might be an instance where it's like, this guy has no instance of this, or
right.
is it just like, no?
I would say that for the authorities that have charged him. But if you're the NFL and you've got credentials, members of the media just doing their job, and you happen to cross paths at the wrong time with somebody, and that person gets shoved over by a member of the National Football League, you have to do something about that, no matter who it is. And I love this guy. I love him, and I'm more than happy to give a testimonial to whatever authority that might actually put something on a criminal record for him to say this guy doesn't deserve that.
Yeah. Look, he's Jody Foster's favorite player, Rich.
844 is true, too. Or I thought it was Jordy Nelson back in the day as well.
Well, maybe. She changed it to...
I know. Well, both of them helped her fantasy leagues. Mike McCarthy just announced moments ago, it looks like Cooper Rush again.
Yeah,
it'll be Cooper Rush against the Philadelphia Eagles. I've said this over and over and over again. I'll say it again. It's Dak's job when it's time for him to get back. And if he's not ready right now, this sounds great to me, man. Keep on keeping on. You've won four in a row with this guy. He's not making any mistakes. And if you lose to the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, you know, so it's big. I don't remember the last time the Cowboys did sweep their division. This is exactly the one game that you'd think that they would lose on the road in division is against this team with their backup quarterback. This team that is the one that is still remaining, the lone remaining undefeated team. You already have a win against the 4-1 Giants and they're building in your back pocket. This is house money as far as I'm concerned for the Dallas Cowboys. House money going into Philadelphia with your backup quarterback. Let Dak just sit. You got games coming at home after this for the Dallas Cowboys against Detroit and Chicago. You want him to have a nice soft reopening of the Dak business before their bye week? Perfect time. And if you win, this is just, I mean, you want to talk about house money. I mean, this is Jones Mahal money is what that would be.
If he wins, there's a full-on controversy.
No, there's not.
If he wins and plays well, what if he has 300 yards and three touchdowns?
It's not a full-on controversy. The full-on controversy would come when Dak returns, not if, when Dak returns and they start and playing 500 football potentially. Mm-hmm. And the offense isn't as efficient. And the mistakes that Cooper Rush doesn't make by turning the ball over and giving up short fields occurs with Dak.
Yeah.
That's when the full-blown controversy hits. When it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, Dak's back, and we love that idea. Of course he's going to get the job back. He's the guy. You don't lose your job due to injury unless, of course, your name's Tony Romo. But you don't lose your job due to injury here if you've got a $40 million a year contract, right? Yeah, right. It's another one. That's it. Yeah. So the full-on controversy is when Dak gets the job back. Let's just say he does get it back against Detroit and the Lions show up and play like it is their Super Bowl and beat him. Or Justin Fields puts it all together and beats him. Or when they come back and they go to Green Bay and they lose to Green Bay coming off a bye week and Dak makes his return then and it looks rusty. And then Mike McCarthy, everyone's going to look at him and say, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to put Cooper Rush back in or not? And Jerry has everybody around him after a game and a post-game loss scrum. And what happens then? That's when the heat will get on.
Yeah.
But in terms of Dak starting this week, I'm like, cool. Don't. You don't have to. Cooper Rush starts this week? Cool. Exactly. House money. You've won four in a row. You've already won more games than you thought you would with Cooper Rush in there. When Dak went out, it was the 4-6 weaker. The 4-6 weeker, you can make it 7 weeks. Give him the full 2 months back.
That'd be ideal.
Do it, because they're not going to lose all three of these and go into their bye week at 4-4 and can't wait for Dak to get back. They're going to win those games at home. They should win those games at home. And I know those are the dangerous games in the Jones Mahal over the previous years. It's the games that Dallas should win, a la against Denver. What was that last year?
Yeah, but I told you we were going to lose that game. So
those are the games that that Dallas loses. But those are not,
they're winnable.
That's not this year because they're winning games that they shouldn't win over the last 4 weeks with a quarterback nobody thought they were going to win. Four games. They were already, like, again, if he was out 7 weeks, you'd say, hey, four wins. He'd sign for that right now.
Absolutely.
In a row?
Also, remember,
in a row?
Remember, he wasn't on the original 53-man roster.
Well,
remember?
They were doing that just for...
He was an unrostered player.
I guess he could have run to another team at that point in time, but...
I mean, I'm sure he knew the deal, though.
Bottom line is, house money, not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Cowboys fans, it's all good in that hood.
Yeah.
Even if they lose, it'll be like next time they see him, well, we had our backup and what have you, and Cooper Rush can't win them all until he maybe does. And even if he does go into the bye week 7-0 and has the Cowboys 7-1, Dak's going to get the job back. And if they don't perform as well in that run that we saw that Cooper Rush is on right now or doing, that's when the heat will be on, and that's when the popcorn will be ready.
For sure.
But not this time. The Miami Dolphins have made an announcement of their quarterback starting this week. It's Skylar Thompson. The opinion of Mike McDaniel and saying who it is now is fantastic. Again, he's one of my favorite new coaches in the last 20 years. We will hit that for you on this program. My power rankings. I have my top 10. Two new teams in my power rankings.
Oh,
two.
There are many power rankings.
And this one is mine. I love my new drop, and I love doing power rankings. And I say that with a straight face.
What made the turn, Rich?
Oh, we got a new animation for it.
It's
a new visual. For the Roku viewing audience. It's just for the Roku Channel 210 folks.
I love you that you've turned the corner on this. Things you didn't like, and you power
guys,
rankings.
You guys are right sometimes. You guys are right sometimes.
Not often.
Just made the list.
Thank you. Nick Turturro is making his way to the studio. I can't wait to talk baseball with him. We're trying to give you new and interesting ways to talk about the sport that we all love, and we hope you do too, as there are now 8 teams left in Major League Baseball's postseason, with 4 of them having a 1-game-to-none lead. His team, the Yankees, in mind, are one of those 4 teams. Same thing with Jason Feller, who loves the Dodgers as much as the Raiders. He really does. He does. He does. He's still got the Raiders helmet right there. Okay.
He does, in all fairness.
We've got Jeannie Buss in studio talking about the Lakers. We'll talk about what's going on with the Warriors and Draymond Green. Mike Pereira on why we're seeing these roughing the passer calls out of the blue. And then, of course, there's Ian Eagle, who joins us next. The voice of Brooklyn Nets basketball and one of the best calling football and so much more. One of our favorites. Always fun when Ian calls in. We'll chat with the bird when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. I love listening to this guy call games. Certainly when he does it with another great human in Charles Davis on CBS. He's also the voice, one of the voices of Westwood One coverage of the National Football League as well, and the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. He's a voice, but he's also a face, and he's a friend of the program back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Prior to calling Giants Ravens, how about that?
Hey, big game.
How about that one on CBS, which I believe is still America's most watched network. Ian Eagle back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Ian?
I'm a human being, Rich. I'm a full-formed human being. Please don't just think of me as a voice.
And a face?
There's more to me. There's layers. There's levels.
Deep. I didn't know that. So let me reintroduce you. Ian Eagle, fresh off his ayahuasca vacation here on The Rich Eisen Show. Completely in touch with every fiber of his being right here on the program. Is that a better introduction then?
That was excellent. Now I feel completely full. Thank you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Great to talk to you. How you doing?
I am well, man. I do love listening to you and Charles call games. Is he one of the greatest human beings on planet Earth, or what?
Charles Davis, isn't he? He is a really good person and so prepared and passionate.
Oh yeah.
Into it every single week. If you could see what leads up to Sunday for him, it is a full commitment and immersion into the game that we're doing, and that's what makes him great at what he does. It's not limited to, I'll watch a couple pieces of tape and show up and have a little bio. He just goes into other places that I've been blown away in our 2+ years together.
And then, of course, if you're doing a Saturday Night Live reference to Tyler Bass, he'll get that too.
He will
get
very strong. He's very 70s, 80s references,
big time.
I think by his own admission, the aughts were a blur. I don't believe that he can really hang on the aughts.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, man, when you got your schedule prior to the season, I don't know if you were circling Giants-Ravens. I don't know if that was one you were circling, but, man, we can circle that. You know, we can definitely circle that. What a game this is you got coming up this weekend, Ian Eagle.
Great story, obviously, with the Giants. And I think the reminder, Rich, you live in this world every day. So you're reminded of how difficult it is to win in the NFL, to turn around a franchise, to get players to really buy into what you're doing. I think it's the toughest sport as a head coach to truly get the buy-in. You're talking about 53 players, 10 practice squad, and that's rotating. So you have different personalities coming in. So 63 players a week to believe in what it is you're selling on a daily basis. And for Brian Daboll to come in with basically the same roster, some adjustments here and there, but for the most part, it's the same team that won four games last year. And now they've won four in 5 weeks. So it speaks a great deal to his leadership, to his vision, and to the players absolutely following him and believing in him. It's probably the biggest surprise in my mind of the NFL. If you're going to look for the most positive surprise, I'd say it's the biggest one of this young season.
I mean, and I know you probably haven't spoken to Daboll yet, but the credit he is, I do believe, rightfully receiving for this 4-1 start from his 2-point attempt in week one in Tennessee, that did actually work. I'm sure Josh McDaniels is sitting here right now saying, please tell me how that feels, you know. And you've got also Daniel Jones's success, Saquon Barkley's reemergence, but the defense is also playing significant football right now. It is interesting watching a coach kind of turn this thing around with Daboll, Ian.
Yeah, and we hear the word culture. That's the biggest word when a new coach takes over, a new GM takes over. And that's really difficult. It's difficult to change the way that people think in any given facility or what they've grown accustomed to. I think he just brought a lot of positivity. And I do think there was a mentality from him and from the GM, so let's give credit to Joe Shane, who came over from Buffalo, that they're not going to just go with guys if they're making big money. That, they were signed to a huge contract, so automatically pencil them in. They're the starter. So when you recognize in training camp into preseason that you're an undrafted free agent or you're a lower draft pick, and you are truly on the same plane as someone that's making $9 million that year or signed to a long-term contract, it's a true competition. It's a true meritocracy. That changes things, and it changes things in a hurry. The other part, defensively, they've been really aggressive. Wink Martindale, that's a nice subplot for this game. With Baltimore, 4 years as the defensive coordinator, 10 years under Harbaugh in Baltimore, and the roots go back even longer than that. He coached under Papa Harbaugh in the college ranks. So Martindale has been a big part and has been intertwined with the Harbaughs for many, many years. Really aggressive, more blitz packages than we've seen in previous years for the New York Giants. And then not making the big mistake on offense. I know sometimes it sounds simple, but for Daniel Jones, nobody questions his physical ability. Nobody questions what he brings to the field. The issues for him had always been that one big mistake late in a game, an interception, a fumble, a poor decision, and those just haven't happened this year. Can they keep this going? Is it sustainable given all their injuries? I don't know, but I do know that there's at least some feelings of optimism now that the Giants have the right people in place.
Well, it makes sense that Wink Martindale is bringing the heat because he did that all the time as the host of Tic-Tac-Doe, right, Ian?
He did.
You know, remember that dragon, whenever they would find the dragon, those unsuspecting players of Tic-Tac-Doe?
Well, if I can work in various game show host games over the course of this broadcast, who would you most want to hear? which game show host would tickle your fancy?
Wow. You know, there's nobody named. Can you look up Brockman the roster? There's nobody named Jim Perry on there, right? There's no Jack. Bill Cullen? Is there a Bill? Is there a Cullen? Is there a Cullen? I'm trying to go down. I'm trying to go on the list.
It doesn't even matter. I don't even need a name that connects. I'll just find a way to mention.
Apropos
Miranda,
of nothing.
Kennedy. It doesn't matter.
Jim Perry hosted 10 different game shows.
Oh, dude, Card Sharks. Come on now. Don't mess with this right now.
No longer with us. He passed away in
2020. Oh, sorry.
He passed. Oh,
he's just unavailable, as they say in the business as
all
well.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, just apropos of nothing, just start dropping names when you see Wink Martindale. It'd be fantastic. Yeah. I'll laugh. I don't know if CBS will. But
I'll do it for an audience of one.
Thanks. It's appreciate that. Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you were in Carolina last week and you spoke to Matt Rhule prior to the 49ers Panthers game, you just called with Charles Davis. Did you get a sense that Matt Rhule knew the clock was ticking? Did you get that sense from him?
Yeah, I mean, I got the sense that they felt that it was not going in the right direction.
Right.
Certainly, nothing in our back and forth indicated that he was worried this week, but there was a general feeling in that area that one more lopsided loss or a loss where they just don't look like a team that is put together to make a run in the NFL was probably going to be enough. So not shocking Monday when it happened. It's a very tough situation there because they swung and missed on a couple of quarterbacks. And in this league, if you whiff in that department, that can set you back 5 years in whatever rebuilding plan you're trying to come up with. Yeah, I think back, I had them his first year. Teddy Bridgewater was the QB. They had a game in Washington late in the season, and they won the game. And you thought that things were starting to come together and Matt's imprint was being formed, but I didn't get the sense that he saw Bridgewater as the long-term answer, and clearly he didn't because Teddy was done by the end of the year. They make the decision to go for Sam Darnold. That, you know, unfortunately backfires, and then the Baker Mayfield decision. The irony is that I really think they were in the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation, seriously, and they might have been the lead team, but ultimately they didn't pull the trigger, and maybe they'd be in a different position. Not to say that all of a sudden Carolina would be a playoff team, but they might have been more competitive with Jimmy G, and maybe we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
And the irony that the quarterback who beat the Panthers and helped, I guess, make a decision for David Tepper was Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, the irony of all of that. And so you've called the Bills beating the Ravens, and you just saw the Niners. Which is the better of the two teams, do you think? And I ask that with knowing that the entirety of our business is put, including myself, our markers on the Bills. But you've seen them in person.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think Buffalo's the best team in the NFL. I think they're the people's champ in many ways because of how they lost last year. There are a lot of people that weren't even Bills fans that are now on board because they want to see the team fulfill whatever destiny that might be in front of them. And they're fun. They're a fun-loving team. That tone is set by Josh Allen because of who he is and how he carries himself and how he interacts with his teammates and then how he goes out and performs every week. To me, they are pound for pound the best team in the NFL. San Francisco's a really nice story considering what could have happened and what the plan was. The plan was Trey Lance, and I'm not sure how it all would have ended up over the course of the season. They were going to stick with the plan, but the injury allowed Jimmy Garoppolo to come back and be the quarterback of this team. And in the short term, I think they're better off because of it. They're going to win more games with Jimmy Garoppolo under center compared to Trey Lance. What does that mean in 2023 and 24? I don't know. I just know now he's the right guy, and their defense is elite, legit. They're going to be a factor in the NFC. We're going to be talking about them in January, and I'm curious to see how it all evolves. But I think they're stable. I think they're on very solid ground right now.
Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's flip the script here and move to another gig of yours as the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. And my apologies for setting up this conversation this way, but that's an advance. You just called the Bills a fun-loving team. What do you call the what do you call the Brooklyn Nets, Ian Eagle?
They're a little dramatic. I would say that's probably the best way to put it. I think they got a lot of their stuff on the table,
okay,
which needed to happen in order to move past all this. Whatever was happening behind the scenes throughout last season that never really got to the forefront but was percolating finally came out once they got swept by the Boston Celtics. So they needed to deal with a lot of this stuff, whether it was Kevin Durant and Sean Marks, whether it was ownership, whether it was Kyrie Irving, whether it was Steve Nash. All of this needed to be dealt with in person, like adults, and I think they've now done that. What does it mean for this year? I would say they might be the most difficult team right now to predict what their win total could be. If this thing works and it clicks and Ben Simmons looks like the guy that went to the All-Star game three times as a member of the 76ers and was all NBA first-team defense, if it all clicks, they could be a 50-plus win team and be a serious factor. But what we learned last year is, what do you do in the face of adversity? Whether it be injuries, whether it be off-the-court stuff, the inner workings of the franchise, culture, as we discussed earlier with the Giants, how is that handled? That part we don't know. That part is a complete mystery. And I think by their own admission, they don't know how that's going to go. So in terms of intrigue, they're right up there with anybody in the NBA. And then the relevance factor. Rich, you grew up in New York. You know that the Nets didn't get a whole lot of play through the years in our childhood. They are a team that's talked about a lot. And that comes with a whole different set of challenges when you're under the microscope. So they're learning about that and dealing with it day to day. When this season gets going next week, they're going to be one of the hot topics of conversation once again.
You know, it's just going to be a fascinating watch, Ian, certainly with you at the call for many of them, because I don't know of another team. I mean, and again, you've been around the New York area for a long time, and it's where I grew up too. I don't know of another New York team where, you know, the team is put together, and because where else are you going to go? What other options did you really have? You know, I mean, like Kyrie, hey, we're, you know, sure you opted in. Who else is going to give you that money? Durant opted out. Well, you know, you wanted out, but, you know, where were you going to go? No one was going to give us anything you're worth, so you might as well stay here and play with Kyrie. And also, Simmons, no one else wanted you. We took you. Like, you know, I guess you want to play, so why not here, right? I mean, it just, how many of those stars can you just put together under the guise of, hey, you wanted to be together, right? Once, maybe not now, and then put it in the hands of a guy in Steve Nash who reportedly had a vote of no confidence from almost every single person I just mentioned. How does that happen, right? Is there another team like that?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often where it normally leads to success. So if it does happen, usually it means that the team is fracturing,
right,
and they're going to have to go in a different direction. Here's the thing about it. Winning is the best deodorant in sports. If you win, all of the things you're talking about begin to dissipate. And then the focus becomes on winning, and the focus becomes on how this team has somehow come together amidst all the challenges. That's why we tune in. That's why it draws so much interest across all the major sports. It is a reality show in many ways, and the unpredictable nature of it keeps bringing us back. So, you know, here we are before the season starts. You and I had a discussion a year ago prior to the Nets season. How was it going to go? How was it going to work out? It didn't work out well. James Harden didn't want to be there. He forced his way out. He completely separated himself from the team, to the point where they didn't have a choice. They recognized it was irreparable. They make a deal for Ben Simmons, hoping that he's on his way back physically to be a part of this thing and be a part of a playoff run. As late as the final week of the regular season, they thought he still had a chance to play, and then he could not play. The back was a legitimate issue and required surgery. So they go into the playoffs. They get swept by Boston, and after having a lead, playing at a high level in game one, should have won the game. Tatum beats the buzzer to beat them in game one, and that was it. They never recovered from that. So all of those happenings taking place in the manner that they did leave us in this position now where we have no idea, truly no idea, what this team is going to be. It's exciting in some ways, and then the other part of it can be a little bit unnerving because it's hard to visualize how all of this is going to go.
Ian, you're the best. Thanks for calling in. I look forward again to hearing you and Charles Davis on the call of Ravens and Giants, and then especially you know, if the Ravens are going for it on fourth down, as you know, John Harbaugh always does that against a Wink Martindale defense, you can call you can call John Harbaugh, wait for it, the Peter Tamarkin, trying to press his luck. Please.
I could.
It's right there.
I could do that.
It's Peter. He's like the Peter Tamarkin going against Wink Martindale. This has got to happen. It's got to
happen.
Yes.
The new quality control coach, Chuck Woolery, involved in that decision.
And we'll be back. And well, certainly if they go for two and two, come on now. This is it, Ian. This is Ian. Please. I mean, it's on a platter is all I'm saying.
It writes itself.
Please say hello to Charles Davis for me, will you, please?
I will.
Please do that.
I will.
Take care, brother.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Ian Eagle, everybody. Ian Eagle right here. Peter Tamarkin, everybody.
The whammy.
Press your luck. That is definitely a game, you know. Hey, look, Ravens-Giants. This is Ravens-Giants, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on a minute. Wait 1 second. Yes, I am correct. Let's do this right here. This is that, if you will, 17th extra regular season game.
Oh.
Yes, I believe the Jets and the Giants are each playing their they're regular. No, the Jets do. Hold on a minute. Let me get this right. I need to get this right, certainly since I'm ad-libbing this sort of stuff right here,
yeah,
right now.
Is,
no, the Jets play the NFC North this year. But the Giants this year, the New York Football Giants this year, take on, let me see right here. Do they play every single? No, they do not. They take on the AFC South this year. This is the one extra game where an NFC team visits an AFC team of a specific division, and it's the AFC North. That's it right there.
Boom.
Got the extra game. I love these extra games. They're always interesting. All right.
Yeah, 16 was fine.
I like the 17th. I like it.
I like the seventh playoff team, but an extra game,
Chris, it gives us more football to talk about. Let us not.
How can you complain about extra football,
exactly,
Chris?
This guy.
You want to know why? I played football.
Let's take a break.
Football hurts.
Let's take a break, everybody.
You were compensated like these guys were compensated.
For those on the waiting for my power rankings, sorry, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
You know how many people just turn the radio off, Rich?
No, because it's going to have a compelling conversation about the horror show that unfolded in Houston yesterday for Seattle. And also, we'll set the table with Nick Totoro. And wait till you see this piece of video that I'm going to show you, that I have exclusively. That's next. Wait for that. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors, folks. You're unlocking potential. I've been telling you, it's the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit that open road and take on any goal you set, to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, and fun adventures right off of your bucket list. Because when you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they're going to take you. With 16 body types, your choice of a gas or a diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your phone calls on this program. I got my power rankings. That's for darn sure. Nick Totoro is about to join us in studio in person. We're also going to have Jeannie Buss in studio in person in hour number three. Mike Pereira on all the craziness involving roughing the passer. You know when you watch a horror movie and you see on the screen somebody that should know better? And you know something horrific is about to befall this person, and you can't understand why they're continuing to go down that dark hallway,
sure,
or just walk into that room without turning a light on, right?
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
The phone rings, don't answer it. No. The calls are coming from within the house, right? Like you kind of put your hand over your face and you watch through your fingers, you watch the inevitable incur. Right?
Some yell at the screen and try to get them to stop.
Exactly. Don't do it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's what I was like yesterday when Scott Servais called upon Robbie Ray to try and close out a game in Houston. with Yordan Alvarez at the plate. Let's play lefty-lefty, even though Robbie Ray hasn't done this ever. And you just took your struggling closer out. Mm-hmm. In game one, we're already establishing if my closer has issues closing, we're removing him for somebody who's not done this. And on top of it, I know this personally, because Robbie Ray is on my fantasy team, or my son's fantasy team, Cooper's fantasy team that I co-own with him, and he has been struggling. And not just struggling, but against Houston. Remember we had a caller yesterday from Seattle saying the Mariners are going to beat Houston? And I'm like, I'm genuine. Castillo might get it done, but Robbie Ray concerns me because Houston has been savaging him. First pitch, through my fingers, Yordan Alvarez takes the mightiest hack of them all on a fastball, and I'm thinking to myself as he fouled it off. Whew.
Big cut, man.
At that point in time, Chris, you're sitting at home next to Sarah, who's on this program Friday, and you're telling her, what? What are you telling her?
Robbie Ray comes into the game, Yordan comes up, and I goes, he's definitely hitting a home run here.
A three-run shot.
And she goes,
to win it.
She goes, nah, he's going to strike out. I go, okay.
Has she not seen horror movies? She strikes me as a worldly pop culture savvy person.
No, she is.
Yeah. Honestly.
You could just feel the game
honestly,
going this way, man. You could just feel it.
Honestly. And it's a phrase you hear a lot in lingo and jargon from baseball announcers. And whenever I heard it over the last several months, I would teach my kids what they mean by middle. You might hear that a lot. Middle. What that means is it's the middle of the strike zone, both longitudinally and latitudinally. Like if you could pinpoint right in the middle where a ball would go, it's middle. Doesn't move very much. It's just straight.
Just boom. Broadway.
And that's what Robbie Ray delivered to Yordan Alvarez. And for maybe folks who aren't diehard baseball fans but do have kids, it's as if the Mariners decided in their most important spot, having already chased Justin Verlander by putting seven on him, it's as if they turned this playoff baseball game into a T-ball game and put out a T and said to Yordan Alvarez, I'm placing it on the tee, and you get one swing at it.
Hit it as far as you can.
Go. And unfortunately for Mariners fans, it is like the last at-bat of the run through the order in a T-ball game where everybody gets to run around the bases. I mean, I saw it coming. And then I read Jason Stark, who I follow afterwards on Twitter, saying Scott Service said after the game, well, we talked about it going into the series. We had a plan. We just didn't execute it. Oh, I'm sorry. You talked about it. My bad. So you had a plan, and your plan was, let's bring in Robbie Ray to pitch to Yordan Alvarez.
That was the plan?
The plan is let's abandon our closer in game one. Really? That's the plan? I was, and we'll talk about it with Nick Turturro in a second here. I was biting my fingers down to the cuticles last night when Aaron Boone took out Wandy Peralta, who did very well in the eighth inning and pitched to one batter in the ninth, to give a soft playoff opening to the guy who was so good. He was the, without a doubt, all-star closer for the American League because he had such a great first half in Clay Holmes. Second half of the season, he has been wild, and he has been unreliable to the point where they were even considering giving Aroldis Chapman a shot at the job again.
Yikes.
Until he imploded by getting a tattoo, and he couldn't answer the bell because it got infected. And then when I guess he was told that he wasn't going to be on the postseason roster, he just bolted. So they bring in Clay Holmes, and he hits the first batter. And I thought to myself, what happens if Holmes can't perform here? Game one, your closer gets blown up in game one of a playoff series. That is a major problem. But at least Boone pushed the button. What about the plan to go with your closer and stick with him? And I know this is 2020 hindsight, but you're seeing your closer struggle. Let's take him out and bring in a guy who doesn't ever do this and who has been lit up by the Astros and who's so pig-headed that, as Pedro Martinez saw and said after the game, check your ego at the door. Did you not see that first hack on your fastball? Like, you're not going to see that again. That's what Pedro said. You shouldn't see that again in the rest of the at-bat. Middle, man. And I feel for you, Mariners fans. Feel for you because you got to come out with that win. You got to.
Have to.
You put your marker down on that game. We are young and we are coming for you. And Justin Verlander, your yesterday's news, yeah. Our home run king, he's going to go and damn near hit for a cycle or have an opportunity for that with a double and a triple. And Suarez is going yard and Crawford's going yard. And we are shutting all you folks up. And we're taking game one, and we're going back to Seattle with a home field advantage. Good luck on that.
Nope. This series is over, right?
I can't say that. But how about we come up with a plan to stick with a plan, not try and execute a plan that nobody's ever heard of with somebody who clearly wasn't ready for it? What the hell was that? Hour two coming up. I
just throw it in the dirt. Come on.
I don't know. The minute he got ahead as well with the fastball, I thought to myself, okay, you got that out of the way. You did get one. Your one fastball here. Yeah. Let's start throwing junk.
Low and away. Nope. Grooved. Was that Chan Ho Park, right? To Cal Ripken?
That was a cookie. Well, Chan Ho Park to Cal Ripken, I believe, was intentional. This is not intentional.
Got it.
Intentional.
Has it come down yet? I don't think it's landed yet.
Oh, my God. You saw. I mean, it was literally a horror movie. Oh, it's just like, don't go in that room.
Bomb.
Don't do that. Turn the light on first. Call the cops. Yeah, get out of the. Run.
Don't go
run!
Upstairs. Don't go upstairs. Why do they always go upstairs?
Right. Or downstairs.
The basement. It's like that.
Yeah, stay on commercial. The same floor. Stay on the same. It's like those commercials.
Yeah, the commercials. Like,
yeah, with the chainsaws hanging.
Why don't we just get into the running car?
No, I think let's go over here. It's a garage full of chainsaws.
It's like Austin Powers, right? It's with Dr. Evil, where it's just like, what do you need the lasers? Just shoot them. Just shoot them now.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't relate.
Honestly, it's as obvious as it comes, man. As soon as he made that move, I'm like, oh, God, this is over.
Oh, no.
Nick Turturro is in studio to talk about the rest of the playoffs, including this. And Jeannie Buss right behind him at some point.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.